Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the podcast. Before we jump into it, got some exciting news. The Bino Harness, the Muley Freak Traverse Bino Harness, is up on the website. It is for sale. Technically, it's a pre-order because they will begin shipping the week of May 6th. So, I mean, you've got about another week before they start to ship. So it's a pre-order, but they're on the website. And here's a little secret. Podcast 15, lowercase, podcast 15, will get you 15% off of your Bino Harness order. When you jump on the website, load it into your cart, before you check out, enter that coupon code, and it'll take 15% right off your cart. Just a little special thank you. Now, that applies also to anything in the Muley Freak store. Shirts, hats, we've got the Stalkers, the Rimrock Stalkers are up there. We've got the rifle covers, again, the Traverse Bino Harness, all of the goodies you need to jump right into almost summer scouting season. It's almost time. Spring bear, spring turkey, all that stuff that you're going to be doing this year. So jump on, use the coupon code. It's our little way of saying thank you. Now, this episode, again, now that we're into Bear Wars, and we've got a familiar face on Bear Wars, Tyler Okamura. This episode is just going to be a kind of a little intro as to who he is and how he began working for Muley Freak and what he does for the team and how he became part of Bear Wars. I mean, he's a personality. He's an all-around good guy. He's a whiz with the camera. He does great when it comes to setting up the shot, when it comes to capturing the moment on any of these hunts that he goes on. So he's a talented guy. Without waiting any longer, here's Tyler Okamura.
He's shot.
Dude, he's everything I freaking could have hoped for. He's freaking awesome. Last 5 minutes of light on the last day.
I spotted a nice buck. I just want to make that clear. He called me Eagle Eye. He almost tried to redact the fact that I'm Eagle Eye. No sense on looking at does, man. That's all you're finding.
Welcome to another episode of the Muley Freak Podcast. The goal here at Muley Freak is to bring you guys the realest conversations with the most interesting guests and cover every topic that has to do with hunting big game out west. All of these conversations are unscripted, all of the topics are real, and we hope that you guys find them useful. Stay tuned for this episode. Thanks again. So your role with Muley Freak is kind of kickstarted with just film. Then, is that right? I mean, it obviously, or how did it all begin with you and Muley Freak?
Yeah, so I ended up meeting him at the expo a few years ago, probably 4 years ago. Okay. And we had some mutual friends, so we chatted and talked for a while there, and then down the road a little ways, he had contacted me and was like, "Hey, you know, this is kind of what Muley Freak is, what we do," and started, you know, learning more about him and everything. And then a few years ago, we were talking, and I was like, he's talking about how many hunts he had going on and how much he had on his plate. And, you know, I was like, well, I've always kind of wanted to film my hunts, and, you know, Muley Freak is kind of a good fit for me because I'm a mule deer addict. So we started talking, and he ended up inviting me on and asked if I wanted to help do some filming. And, you know, of course, we always have a lot going on just with Muley Freak itself, you know, whether it's taking photos and getting content, or, you know, doing this podcast, writing some blog articles, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of do a little bit of everything. Yeah. And hope to do a little more here, you know, as much as I can with three kids and a wife.
Yeah. So. Not only do the responsibilities within Muley Freak snowball, but the responsibilities outside of the fun side, they snowball as well. Mm-hmm. That's the way it always works. Work and family and whatnot. Yeah. Now, I think that's a pretty good example. I feel like a lot of people that I talk to, and maybe even some friends of mine, are just, you know, have been or have thought about, man, I'd love to get into the hunting industry. And I'm like, really, it's the opportunities are there. It's just a matter of putting yourself out there and just, and like you did, just offering your services. I mean, especially nowadays, and in the situation that Muley Freak was in and is in, the search for content is a never ending search. So if you're, if you offer, if you offer yourself up to offer, you know, give yourself, hey, I can help film some stuff, and it ends up being quality, I mean, you know, opportunities are limitless, really.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I know, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people out there that, you know, at least say they want to start, they want to film hunts, and they'd love to join, you know, some of these groups that, that are filming hunts. But in reality, it's a lot more demanding than people think. And so at times, you know, it does take some of the fun out of the hunt, you know, or not necessarily that I enjoy it, but, I think it just puts more pressure.
Yeah.
More pressure on you, and makes it, yeah, I don't know, just makes it, it's a different feel, definitely.
Yeah,
you know, there's the pressure to get the content when you're out hunting, and you know, it is what it is. But for me, I don't think it was like the reason, I guess the reason I really wanted to film hunts is just for, number one, it's super cool being able to look back at the footage and relive the memories. But I, second, probably most importantly, I just love hunting, right? And I kind of saw how these films that people are doing, they get, you know, they have a lot of reach, and they get out, and they have an effect on people. And if, you know, if you do it the right way, they can have a positive effect on people and show hunting in a good light. And, you know, just trying to conserve the opportunities that we have to hunt, you know,
yeah.
There's more and more people out there that are, I feel like anyways, that are anti-hunting, you know, animal rights activists, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was a kind of the way I saw to just try and preserve our sport and our hobby of hunting.
Yeah. So. I like that. I mean, there, everybody's got their own motivations, but I feel like that the those motivations that you laid out is kind of a that motivation sounds like you could have, you know, you would have done film regardless if Muley Freak could ever come along or not. You know, it would have been something that, I don't know. It's a good,
yeah.
It's a good,
I mean, this, yeah, there's, for me, once I started archery hunting, and I think that's what really kind of got my addiction to hunting started. And specifically mule deer, and then just being up in the high country, deer hunting, man, getting close to the animals. I started having all these experiences that I know a lot of other people don't have, and I just wanted to be able to share that with people. And so this is kind of a cool way to be able to do that, and people can, you know, hopefully it motivates them to get out and do it themselves as well. So,
yep, I agree. So let's talk about your hunting background. How deep are the roots?
Yeah, so I grew up hunting. My dad, my uncle, my grandpa, they all hunted when I was growing up, and so I, you know, would watch my dad leave, you know, to go on their annual hunting trips, and you know, they'd probably go out a couple times a year, going a deer hunt, going an elk hunt, call it good.
Yeah.
But I just remember sitting at home and just anticipating them coming home and just waiting at the door, waiting to see what they shot that year. So I think that's where it all started for me.
Before even the actual hunt, just the waiting to go on.
Right.
That's exciting.
Right. Yeah. And it wasn't, I wouldn't say it consumed my thoughts, at that point, you know, it was just like, yeah, I can't wait to see what, you know, what he brings home. So it was like, I'm kind of living through my dad's shoes when he comes home and tells me the story. And then, and then finally I get to go out, and luckily for me, they had some great hunting spots. And so I started finding success as soon, you know, my first year. I got out, shot an elk and a deer, and we, that's pretty much all we did, is elk and deer hunting, a little bit of upland bird hunting as well.
Nice.
But all through, you know, middle school, high school, I played sports a lot, and so we didn't have a lot of time to go hunting. It just, especially basketball season, puts a little bit of damper on the hunting. And so after high school, after, and once I started getting into college, actually, I take that back. In high school, I drew a good deer tag here in Idaho. And I'd say that's kind of where my mule deer obsession kind of started. So I drew this tag, and it's a rut hunt, rifle hunt.
Okay.
But this was the first time that I had drawn a tag, and so I was going to take it serious and try and kill a good buck.
Yeah.
And so I started scouting that year. I went out in August even one time, and ended up, which was unheard of, because we never scouted. We'd go out.
Yeah.
And,
for the two annual trips, especially when, like you say, when your family's got their dedicated spots, they know where they're going to camp. They know, you know, there's like,
right.
That was not really the part of the equation. So that's pretty cool of you to step outside of your boundaries a little bit, you know, and head off on the scouting trail.
Yeah, for sure. It was okay, we're going deer hunting, so we're going up to this spot that we always go, and there's always deer at this time of year, you know, in October when we're rifle hunting. And then we go to this other spot for elk this time of year in November, and, you know, so we didn't have to scout. And so drawing this tag, it kind of took me out of that box. And so I went out, did some scouting, and I ended up finding this big bastard group of bucks in velvet. And that blew my mind, because I had never seen a velvet buck, never seen a bachelor group like that. And there were so many good bucks in there. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And so that really stuck with me. I ended up shooting, you know, I passed up a 170, 175 buck opening morning, and which I shouldn't have. And I ended up shooting a smaller buck than that, but still a nice 4-point. And it got me excited. And from there, after I got out of high school, after sports were kind of over, I had a little bit more time, and my buddy got me into archery.
Yeah.
And so that's what really, I think, took it to the next level for me. And I started seeing some of these videos, and this just ties the knot, just like we just started. I started seeing like pure elevations videos with like Steve Speck from Exo Mountain Gear.
Yeah.
Those ones specifically, when I saw those, they took you through the hunt and showed you exactly what it was like to go on a backcountry backpack hunt, you know, and scouting, hunting mule deer with a bow. And when I saw those videos, I was like, man, I really want to do that.
Yeah.
And so just from watching that, I started building my gear list and went out. And the rest is kind of history. Like, just started doing it, and that's how I learned how to do it, because I didn't have anybody to hunt
now.
With me.
It's embedded now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. After that, and then the first year I started archery hunting, I shot my best scoring buck to date, I shot a buck and I shot a bull my first year archery hunting. And so after that, it was like game over, man. I'm done.
Man.
And my wife is going to have to live with me, you know, have to put up with that because of that. So anyway,
that's cool. I find that there's a, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily two solid categories, but there's the category of the guys that jumped into it and found success early, and it created a fire. And then there's the guys that jumped into it and have grinded out for the first handful of years, and then found success and then have the same fire. And it's cool to see that. I mean, it all equals out to just this crazy obsession that only those who have the obsession can relate. And it's funny. So myself, I started bow hunting in, I guess, let's see, 5 years ago, 6 years, well, 5 years ago. And before then, I'd only hunted upland game and birds and ducks and stuff. I mean, that was it, coyotes and whatnot. I'd only hunted that. I'd never hunted big game. And I decided to jump right into bow hunting. But the very first season of bow hunting, opening morning, the first hour of daylight, I had a crazy encounter up close and personal with an awesome bull elk, and I just didn't have an elk tag. And but it was those little experiences that I was like, holy crap, that can happen. And it's possible. And it was cool because it was an area that I literally like threw a dart at a map and was like, yeah, that looks like a good idea. Well, not necessarily, but I did a little research enough to be like, hey, you know, this is close enough to home. It's got decent enough draw odds. It's decent enough success rates. Yeah, I'm going to give this a shot. And
yeah,
it was cool to see like all the work that I'd put into it work out and to have those experiences. And then I'm not kidding you, for the last, you know, 5 years, I've had experiences like that in close calls. And in fact, I've drawn my bow back every year for the last 5 years and have not sealed the deal. But
man,
those every single one of those experiences, I could sit down and relay exactly how they laid out. And it's the all those add up to the reason why I sure as hell will be out there again this year,
right?
To capture what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I figure it's those up close and personal encounters that I've been having. It's only a matter of time where it works out and everything's just going to come together. I envy guys like you that, you know, that have, can find the success early, but the excitement I feel like is so different for other people that I get. I mean, like I said, I get chills thinking about some of the stuff that I've seen and not having brought a critter home yet. But
yeah,
I mean, it all leads to good things. I mean, here you and I are sitting on a podcast for Muley Freak, you know, because of this obsession, it leads to somewhere. And I feel like guys that, if anybody can take something from this little snippet of the podcast is, you know, pursue your passion. And just find a way to include it into something that you want to do. And, you know, if there's companies out there that have these availabilities or have, you know, a need for content or hell, do your own thing. Who cares, you know? Just roll that passion and that excitement into something that you know, it can start as a hobby like it did for you and I. It can start off as a hobby and then next thing you know, you might be bringing a paycheck home. Who knows?
Yeah, and I don't know, man. I'm at the point now where, you know, I really came in hard on the obsession part of it, and and now with my, I have a 3-year-old, almost 2-year-old, and then I have a baby on the way due in August, so it's. I've really tried to slow down and enjoy the time with them, which has taken away a little bit of my obsession with hunting a little bit. Like, yeah, I still think about it all the time and I'm still working on all these projects with Muley Freak, but I've tried to scale it back just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's not, hunting is not everything.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean I don't try to make the most out of the time that I do get to go. Like,
yeah.
always trying to take advantage of it. But
yep.
But yeah, it's kind of funny. I had success that first year, but after that, the next year I don't think I killed anything. I might have shot something with my rifle, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, I've seen the success side. But I've also had those years that have left me here for more, you know? So,
yeah.
Like you said, I think the most important thing is the experiences and the things that you see, the things that you feel. I honestly think that that hunting can make you a better person, you know, if you're trying to learn lessons, take lessons from the hunt and and apply them in your life. I feel like it can, and I've been striving for that, I guess, kind of in my life in general. Like, I've been trying to do hard things. It's ever since we did that Death Hike podcast last year and talked about that a little bit.
Yep.
But ever since I started doing those death hikes, I started seeing the value in doing hard things and doing things that are, you know, other people don't do that may not seem super fun in the moment, but in the end make you a stronger person. And so I, you know, doing the death hikes has been a huge thing, but I ended up doing a 50K last year, or the beginning of this year. I just signed up for another half marathon, just doing different things. And hunting is a huge part of that. Like, you can push yourself so far in the mountains when you're hunting.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. That's what I love about backpack hunting specifically.
Yeah.
It's just you out there. There's nothing stopping you besides, you know, how much food you can carry on your back, really.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I would have to agree. There's plenty of things that, I can go on a hike or something here closer to home and head up on some of the trails. And I'm like, you know, at the end of it, I'm like, man, that kind of wore me out. But then I think back and I'm like, on some of the backpack hunts that we went on, I'm like, dude, you just kept walking. You just kept going. And I was like, it didn't even cross your mind how tired you were. But I think so much of it's got to do with just your mental state and being able to deal and being able to deal with the uncomfort or the discomfort during that, knowing that it's going to end to something, you know, incredible. And like you say, 9 times out of 10, you come home and if you go hunting for 10 days, you remember the 9 days that it took to kill the critter, and that one more sometimes, and maybe more vividly than you do the day that it took to kill the critter and get it out of there. It's like those 9 days, or, you know, the chunk of time that you're just out there. In fact, something you said flagged something in my brain. I remember there's plenty of times in the fall where I'll just be like, I mean, I don't know, you get in those moods and I'm just like maybe grumpy or edgy or something. And my wife will just look at me. She's like, seriously, you need to go in the mountains. You need to go on a hike. You need to go, like, I'll see you in a couple of days. Like, you need to go, you need to go have a reset. And it's crazy how true that is, man. It just to be able to get away and calm that. But the same thing applies. Getting away and resetting makes you come home and just appreciate family and playing with the little ones and wrestling with your kids. And, you know, it makes you appreciate those moments a lot more. And like you say, if you used to hunt 100 days a year and now you only hunt 30, by gosh, those 30 are going to be crammed full of some memories. But you're going to spend some good time in the woods.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with everything you just said, man.
100%. Now, on a more personal note, on a side note, I guess, you do work full-time as a firefighter, right?
I do, yep.
And how,
so that's my...
Is that something that you chose? What made you choose that as a career path? Is that something that you're like, hey, I like doing hard things, so I might as well go do...
So I never really considered it when I was growing up, when I was in high school or anything like that. Didn't know much about it, and then I had a buddy that was kind of looking into it. I was like, yeah, I'll look into that. Sounds like a pretty cool gig. And so I went and started getting some of my certifications and whatnot, and then I started volunteering and started pursuing the job. Once I started volunteering, I really saw what it was, what we did. Went on a few calls where I saw what kind of a difference we can make in the community, and it's something that we're always outside, you know, doing stuff. Every call we go on is different. You know, it's something different than I've ever done, and so it just keeps me motivated. And man, I couldn't think of a better job for me, really. I was working at XO Mountain Gear for a couple of years and had the opportunity to stick with them and do that. But I continued pursuing fire and finally got hired doing this. And as much as I love the hunting industry, my job as a firefighter is so awesome. Like I look forward to it so much because I go to work and my wife complains sometimes to me that I'm going to play and go hang with my buddies for 2 days. Cause I work 48 hours on and then get 4 days off. So she's like, you just get your 2 day break every week. And then you come home and, you know, then you have to put up with us, but you're just hanging out, having a bachelor party over there. And in reality, it does feel like that sometimes. Like we're doing things that we love and hanging out with buddies. So
yeah,
it doesn't get much better than that, really.
That's cool. Well, and it goes back to what you said earlier. You know, if being outside of the hunting industry kind of has its perks in that it keeps your hobby as a hobby.
Right.
You know, you can still do Muley Freak stuff on the side and, you know, dedicate the time and the energy to it to enjoy it. But it's not... Mm-hmm. Overwhelming, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And Eric and Aaron, they've asked me to, you know, take on some more responsibility at times, and I've had to tell them, hey man, I can't do any more than what I'm doing. Like, I gotta keep it, like you said, as a hobby, not a job. It's it's something that I enjoy doing, and so keep it that way for sure.
Excellent. Well, we're definitely glad to have you, Tyler. I appreciate everything that you do for Muley Freak, and it's good to have an extra set of hands when it comes to, you know, a lot of this content stuff. And it's always good to chat with you, man. Whenever there's something new that pops up that we need to chat about, it's always good to just shoot you an email or shoot you a text, and we can bang out a podcast. It makes it nice.
Yeah, well, thanks for all your work, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, not a problem, man. So you mentioned some bear hunting coming up in the springtime this year.
Yeah, so we got Bear Wars dropping either this week or next week, from last year, and we're going to continue the project. So yeah, trying to get some bear hunts lined up. I've got two scheduled right now, and maybe get one more in there, just depending on how my scheduling goes. But
excellent.
Yeah, pretty excited. I can't wait to get back out there. And the spring is one of my favorite times to be out in the mountains. So
I enjoy it as well.
Really got the winter blues, and then everything's green, growing, and animals are, you know, they just seem to be a little more docile. I feel like the elk and deer, anyways, and so it's cool seeing them.
Yeah, everything's coming out of that winter slumber, and it's just I'm trying to talk these guys into doing turkey wars, but I haven't got anywhere yet. So
turkey wars, that's what we need. We need another project on our plate.
Well, I think it would be a good project. It would be one video and one Instagram post, and that would be it.
That'd be good. Maybe we'll just let you tackle that by yourself.
I think they would go for it, man. I'm being honest.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Oh, anyway, man. Well, cool. Well, I look forward to seeing you on some Bear Wars stuff, both this year and, I guess, what's coming up next year for what we're recording now. Always got the cameras rolling, man.
Heck yeah, always.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate it. We'll chat with you a little bit later.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.